Scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Sue Dills had called Vicki yesterday. She had her second in her, I believe it was a shingles shot, and she's had a reaction from it, much like Vicki did. Her arm got extremely swollen. She's in extreme pain and not able to sleep, and she didn't think it would be a wise idea to be out and trying to drive today. So she says she hopes to see you all at least Wednesday. So hopefully hers will not last as long as Vicki's did, which hung out for about a month. And also, I want to thank Joel for last Sunday taking my class and the lessons. It is very much a great peace of mind knowing that we have such capable men that is able to step up and do a multitude of things. And I thank all the men who unselfishly serve us each and every Sunday, Lord's Day, but whether it's a table or prayer or scripture reading. They are a true blessing to this congregation, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart. For the moment, I'd like you to imagine that we're going to take a journey with a missionary. He is a missionary who is familiar with us. He is energetic. He is tireless. He is a man of extreme faith. He sees himself as being handpicked by God to travel all over the world as a spiritual ambassador. We are heading to a picturesque corner of the Aegean Sea, a place where you will find sailors and importers and exporters and students and philosophers from all over Europe and Asia, the ones who flow through the gates and the harbors of this ancient city. That would be a tremendous opportunity for us to be able to be with a master teacher, one who is skilled in communicating the good news. We are going to see firsthand how to go into a place where there is no spiritual light, a place in the need of hope, a city needing Jesus and his light of truth. But almost as soon as we arrive, something stops our missionary friend dead in his tracks. He decides to abandon the work before we even get started. What potential. And yet, we have to leave with the work undone. All those doors will remain unopened. The gospel will not be preached. And there we are, we're standing there with our mouths open, bewildered and wondering why. There's nothing wrong with our papers. There's no official objections to our work. There's no legal challenges. There's no political bullying. Nothing. Our missionary friend simply suffered an anxiety attack. His plans, his life's work, his ambitions, perhaps the greatest opportunity at this moment in his life, was hijacked by a wave of worry and anxiety. it robbed him of his ability to concentrate. He became so obsessed with worry that he could not function. And there we are. In a moment of his panic, we repack our bags and we move on, unable to find any peace, but hoping for better conditions down the road. Later, our missionary friend described what happened in these words that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13, and 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 5. In the first verses, he says, "And when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest, because I could not find my brother Titus there. And so I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia." And now chapter 7 and verse 5. "For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We are afflicted at every turn, fighting without," and listen to this, "fear within." From what we have read, it seems as that Paul was so worried and so anxious about the work in Corinth that he was worried about his companion Titus, that he could not zero in on the possibilities in Troas. I don't know about you, but I think that this is a remarkable admission. We are seeing the human side of Paul, probably the greatest missionary of all time, a true biblical hero. Paul, who was called, fashioned, reshaped, molded by God, is battling anxiety, worry, fear, fears within, and conflicts without. But Paul's not the only one, is he? According to a New York Times article, we Americans are among the most anxious people on earth. Anxiety is a mode of worry. It is a load of care. It is a sense of unease. It is a nervous strain. It coats our personality like a fast-drying enamel paint. It has the potential for shutting down our plans and our ambitions. Sometimes it's just a simple flutter in the chest. And other times it is a full-blown post-traumatic episode where we are gripped with a fear that completely overwhelms us. And we are all susceptible, right? Here's an interesting fact. Researchers in the University of Wisconsin in Madison concluded that 30% of human anxiety could be attributed to inherited factors. 30%. So what does that tell us? That means that 70% of our worries, fears, and anxieties can be affected by changing our outlook and our habits. In short, we have control over our worries and our fears and our anxiousness in 70% of the time. But let's revisit what Paul wrote, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, what Rusty read, but let's also include verse 8. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, which surpasses all understanding. will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. One of the things that we have to train ourselves to be able to do is, because worry affects us all, we need to train ourselves to live above worry, to be able to control our anxiousness. Paul's first words of advice is to learn to rejoice. Or to be more accurate, rejoice always. Now, how many of us do that on a daily basis? How many? How many of us got up this morning and said, oh man, it's all cloudy again? Get up this morning and look, I don't have the sun in my eyes coming to work or coming to church. Happiness is an emotion that depends on happenings. What's going on around us? What's going on with us? What is going on to us and for us? But on the other hand, joy is a disposition of the heart. Joy is an attitude. Joy and sorrow are not mutually exclusive. By that, I mean that they can exist together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How can we miss this point about what Paul is telling us? Rejoice is a command to be obeyed. Even in the most dire of circumstances, we should be able to find a way to at least rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord is a personal demonstration of our trust in God, so much that our attitudes are affected by our joy. Doesn't matter whether it's the storms of life or the sunshines of life, we rejoice, and it is a choice that we make. A choice that we make. You know, this morning in class we talked about Noah. I'd mentioned about raining for 40 days and 40 nights. I get kind of bummed out and my mood changes when it's cloudy for a week and it rains for a week. I can't imagine sitting in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights with rain constantly and no sunshine. And Joel made a great thing. Noah trusted God. Being cooped up in an ark, and yet I'm sure Noah found a way each and every day to rejoice because he was saved. We don't have to live by our feelings. We control them. We can have joy in the Lord regardless of what's going on around us. We can rejoice in God's precepts and His promises. We can rejoice in His pardon. We can rejoice in His path and the purpose that He has for us. We can also rejoice in His providence and His protection and His promise of heaven. And secondly, Paul says, let your moderation or your reasonableness be made known to men. Rusty in the American Standard says gentle spirit, and that's exactly what reasonableness means, or moderation. This involves having a kind nature. It involves being considerate, pleasant, patient, even-tempered. It suggests a deliberate kindness. It is not weakness, but it speaks about the ability to stay calm in conflicts. You know, some create anxiety for themselves and others by being disagreeable, by having that sharp and biting tongue, by being judgmental, irritable, or having a mean spirit. A gentle spirit not only reduces anxiety, it also reflects the fact that Jesus lives within us. And thirdly, when life tumbles in, when things don't go as we would like, we need to remember that God is near. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 29, I will always be with you even until the end. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. This is the Hebrew writer speaking about Jesus. And in the 145th Psalm in verse 18, David wrote, the Lord is near to all who call on him. And this brings us to number four. Worrying is inhibited by the practice of prayer. This is what Paul is driving at in Philippians 4 and verse 6. And if this advice were only given in this spot in the Bible, it would still be a wonderful and welcome promise, but it is a teaching against worry that is a consistent part of Scripture. Jesus taught in the Beatitudes in Matthew 6 and verses 25 through 34. He taught about worry and anxiety. In Luke 10 and verse 41, Jesus advised Martha that she was worried and she was upset about many things. And James wrote in James 5 and verses 13 through 16, he says, are you in trouble? Pray. If you're sick, pray. If you're caught up in a sin, pray. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. If you need a prescription for a better life, it's prayer. And we need to use it, and we need to take it all the time. And it's the only prescription on the face of the earth that has unlimited refills, and it's free. It's been known for a long time that counting blessings is essential to a good mental health. In fact, I think we could call Paul the apostle of gratitude. In fact, Colossians 1 and verse 3, Paul says, we always thank God. In Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7, he says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And a very familiar verse to many of us, Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Gratitude, giving thanks, is classic Christianity. Jesus maintained that the issues of life, good or bad, come from the heart. It's all about our thoughts. We can sin in thought, not just in behavior. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, Solomon says that here that we are to be careful how we think because our life is shaped by our thoughts. Listen to Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. David writes here, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David here is asking God to help him think correctly. Because how we think determines our destiny. We've all heard the little ditty, "Sow a thought, reap an action, sow an act, reap a habit, reap a character, reap a destiny." It's not just what we do that determines our destiny, but also what we think. A little poem. I don't know who wrote it. And maybe some of our children have heard it, and maybe some of us have heard it. "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do." Not a single one of those things is controlled by action, but by what we think. What are we worried about? Whatever it might be, Paul has the advice. Rejoice always. Cultivate a gentle spirit. Maintain a sense of God's presence. Present your anxiousness to God. Count your blessings. Be thankful always. And know that our thoughts shape our lives and our destinies. What is bothering us today may or may not be here tomorrow. Oftentimes, we waste a whole day worrying about things that may never occur. If you're worried about tomorrow, guess what? Tomorrow's not here. And we never see tomorrow, ever. So we live for the moment today. Everything in and of itself will eventually take care of itself. And for us to spend the time worrying about things that may or may not come, or worrying about the situation we find ourselves in, we can help ourselves out of those things by listening to Paul, a man who went through the same things we did, the very same things. But you know, Paul was not ashamed of what he went through. And Paul knew that everything that he experienced in life knew it would be an aid for each of us. And that's what he did. And that's why he wrote these things down. Some of these things God told him to put down, but a lot of these things Paul put in here also through the wisdom that he gained over his time. Be a perfect elder just along with Peter, because he went through life itself and all the ups and downs that we do. And if you're not a child of God, you have no place to go to release the worries and anxieties that you have. Because while you say you can pray to God, Isaiah 59 tells us that God does not listen to the prayers of the unrighteous. There's a way that you can come back and get into that where God can help you. God can help you tremendously. By becoming that child of God, you now are an heir to eternal life and salvation in heaven. You will be able to stand there next to Jesus Christ in heaven on a level playing field. Joy and happiness, no more worries, no more anxiety. through repentance and confession and baptism, you can become that child of God. Have your sins washed away and be a new creation, a new creature. And maybe you are a child of God, but maybe you've allowed the cares of the world to overwhelm you to the point that you do not function as a Christian as God wants you to function. If there is any way that we can help you in whatever, if it's to become a child of God, if it's to pray for you, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.